world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
What is your beef with illegal immigration?
Well, Rick, we can beat this. This bill in the Gulf, it's a catastrophe.
Great courage. So all members have already spoken and then stand up.
Something in my head told me this wasn't working with this bear.
Did you ever smoke, Wolf?
No, not really.
Good day.
Famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, and here it is, Saturday. That's some truth. Truth is our bitch on this show. We'll go through the looking glass and beyond to find it. And along the way, though, hope that we have a couple of laughs. Coming up this hour, Governor Brewer considers changing the immigration law. Changing the immigration law from something to something else, huh? Plus, should Billy the Kid be pardoned? It's being considered in New Mexico. And our affiliate spotlight for tonight in Miami, WAXY 790, Waxy 790 AM in Miami, and in Abilene, Texas, KFNA 96.1 FM. Two great stations on the Phil Hendry Network. And go to our website, philhendryshow.com, for the beginning on Monday of our podcast downloads, automatic podcast downloads of our show. And also we'll be featuring three times a week, downloads of a classic Phil Hendry podcast hosted by me, where we introduce you to the kind of radio show that we do, and to our website. We've got a live streaming video of our show right now and audio, as we do each and every night. We've got a live news feed you can comment on. You can email us. Be a part of it. Be a part of all of it. All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number. Now, Anthony Weiner, a representative in the House of Representatives, went ballistic on the floor of the House of Representatives today, and we're going to play that audio for you and give you the background on that story. But first, a burglar is suing a man who captured him because the guy put him through a very rough citizen's arrest. This is the kind of story we all love. We like these stories because, first of all, we like to hear about guys that are committing crimes getting beat up. You mean there wasn't a cop around? It was just a regular guy, yeah. But we hope they wind up good, meaning the guy is, they're laughing at him and nobody wants to hear what he has to say. Well, his name is Michael Dupree. He's serving a 12-year prison sentence for burglary and cocaine possession. He's filed a lawsuit against three men who helped police take him down. Dupree says he's the victim of a rough citizen's arrest and was assaulted and battered by the men. He's seeking $500,000 in punitive damages. Anthony McCoy, one of the men being sued, said it's laughable. It's a waste of taxpayer money. McCoy says he remembers Dupree well. He says that on the morning of October the 11th, 2007, he was working at his business on Dr. Martin Luther King Drive, Street S. This is in St. Petersburg, Florida. He noticed that the passenger window of one of his vehicles was broken. He quickly spotted Dupree, who had a red bike that had been inside the vehicle. McCoy and two other men gave chase. They found Dupree hiding naked a few hundred feet away. That's Florida, all right. That's Florida. Some ass just walking around naked or riding a bike naked, or, they find him in Shamu's tank in SeaWorld naked. Oh, yeah.
You're kidding.
No, that happened once.
Yeah, they found a guy. Some guy climbed in nude.
What are you talking about, a guy climbing nude?
Some guy climbed into Shamu's tank at SeaWorld.
In San Diego?
No, in Florida, in Orlando. That's Florida, man. So anyway, they gave chase. They found Dupree hiding naked a few hundred feet away. McCoy says he put Dupree in a shoulder hold until officers arrived. According to a...
What's a shoulder hold?
Here, I'm going to show you a shoulder hold. You ready?
All right.
There. See that?
I can't move my arms or nothing.
Right. Then I just put my hands behind your head.
Here, let me try.
Do that to me, man. Ow! Ow! Do that to me, you idiot.
What are you doing, man? I thought that was a shoulder hold.
That ain't my shoulder, is it? I had to belt you for that.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, that's really funny, man. Anyway, shoulder hold. McCoy and two other men gave chase. They found a guy nude and he's hiding. Now, according to a police report, Dupree, homeless at the time, has a criminal record dating back to 1990. Dupree told police that a guy had given him the bike, and he went to the corner store and was trying to sell it. Then he said McCoy and the other men jumped him, pointed a gun at him, placed a knee painfully on his spine, and handcuffed him. Dupree claims in his suit, which he filed without a lawyer, that the takedown resulted in permanent disabilities and psychological disorders, which the plaintiff continues to suffer. Dupree was convicted of burglary in 2008. He's serving a sentence at the Appalachian Correctional Institute in Sneeds. He pled no contest to the drug charge and is serving a McCoy said he couldn't believe it when he was served with Dupree's lawsuit earlier this month. I thought it was a joke. I'm the victim, McCoy said. He said he expects the suit to be dismissed. What gall? I guess time in prison just makes you go crazy. Time in prison gives you a chance to read a lot of law books, I guess. That's what they say. That's what I see in all them shows, you know.
Yeah, they always show a guy like, I did a lot of a prison lawyer, you know. I got a prison lawyer, you know.
Yeah, you have time to go and read a lot of books and do a lot of stuff.
Probably some guy told him how to do it, some pain in the butt.
Probably. Now we move on from a guy nude on a bicycle to something similar. The House of Representatives. Anthony Weiner, who is a representative in the House of Representatives, he represented all right. Most House Republicans on Thursday voted against a bill to provide $7.4 billion in aid to 9/11 first responders who became sick after the attacks. You know, I'm not saying I agree with the Republicans. I'm not saying that. And I'm not saying I agree with the Democrats. But you do every now and again sniff out a bill that's got a little bit of a... You know, the election's around the corner, you know, all over it. How could anybody be against this? Anyway, $7.4 billion in aid to 9/11 first responders who become sick after the attack. They complained the Democrats opted to bypass voting on amendments, opting instead for a process that sped up the vote but required a two-thirds majority. So the vote was apparently, as far as Republicans were concerned, not a fair one. As far as the Democrats were concerned, why don't you Republicans get up off your ass and do something to help your country? Democratic Representative Anthony Weiner blew a fuse on the House floor when he heard his GOP colleagues complaining about procedure yesterday. In a dramatic 1.5-minute speech, Weiner hollered that Republicans were being cowardly by opposing the bill based on procedure. Let's listen, shall we? Representative Anthony Weiner, a Democrat from New York, went on a rather epic rant on the House floor yesterday against Representative. He was going up against Representative Peter King, a Republican from New York.
Great courage to wait until all members have already spoken and then stand up and wrap your arms around procedure. We see it in the United States Senate every single day where members say, we want amendments, we want debate, we want amendment, but we're still a no. And then we stand up and say, oh, if only we had a different process, we'd vote yes. You vote yes if you believe yes. You vote in favor of something if you believe it's the right thing. If you believe it's the wrong thing, you vote no. We are following a procedure. I will not yield to the gentleman, and the gentleman will observe regular order. The gentleman will observe regular order.
Wow. Representative Weiner continues his rant and makes it clear he still won't yield.
The gentleman thinks that if he gets up and yells at him, he's going to intimidate people into believing he's right. He is wrong. The gentleman is wrong. The gentleman is providing cover for his colleagues rather than doing the right thing. It's Republicans wrapping their arms around Republicans rather than doing the right thing on behalf of the heroes. It is a shame, a shame. If you believe this is a bad idea to provide health care, then vote no. But don't give me the cowardly view that, oh, if it was a different procedure, the gentleman will observe regular order and sit down. I will not. The gentleman will sit. The gentleman is correct in sitting. I will not.
This is quite obviously not in order.
Gentleman will suspend.
Wow. Weiner concludes his rant.
I will not stand here.
Gentleman is recognized.
And listen to my colleagues say, oh, if only I had a different procedure that allows us to stall, and then vote no. Instead of standing up and defending your colleagues and voting no on this humane bill, you should urge them to vote yes, something the gentleman has not done.
On MSNBC today, Representative Weiner gives context.
But right before I got up to spoke, my colleague Mr. King stood up, who's a sponsor of the bill, and right. spent almost his entire statement ripping the Democrats, using words like cowardly and lacking courage, and making this about a process. And frankly, that's what set me off, and that's why I thought we needed to respond, because frankly, the Republicans have now, as you know, over the course of the last couple of years, this has been their strategy. They say, oh, we like the bill, but we don't like the way you're doing it. We don't like the style. Right. We don't like the time, how many pages you're using. So that's what I was responding to.
All right, so there it is, Representative Anthony Weiner, who I've seen on TV. I've seen him engaging people. I believe the guy is about keeping the facts straight, and I can't say that about all politicians, so I don't care if they're Democrat or Republican. He is about keeping the facts straight. He has at times tried to clarify in the face of ideology. I don't know whether he would have been that strenuous supporting something perhaps that was Republican-sponsored if he saw the same things happening on his side of the aisle. But he is right. You know, when you don't have the majority, when you are a minority party, when you need to get stuff done and you don't have the votes, yeah, you do rely on procedural, reflexive kind of procedural strategies and tactics and those things, filibusters, whatever. I don't know.
You understand what about a filibuster and everything like that?
Yeah.
No, I don't. I don't.
Well, how does it happen?
I don't know. All I know is a guy can keep talking and talking and talking and talking and talking and talk as long as he wants, and he won't yield, you know?
What's that mean, yield?
Sit down.
Oh, so another guy can talk?
Yes, so another guy can talk. All right, 877-876-PHIL. We're going to come back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show this evening. Coming up, famous college roommates still to come, and did a Christian woman stop a robbery with her faith? 877-876-PHIL.
This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Robbery with her faith.
What?
Phil Henry.
Time now for a semi-regular feature called Life Imitates Phil, and we are going to bring on the, I suppose you could say, the sponsor of this Life Imitates Phil, Dr. Ron Turner, joining us now from Mountain Meadow Observatory in Colorado. And Dr. Turner?
Yes, Phil, right here.
This is very interesting, this Life Imitates Phil, because it was the other night, I believe, that you were on with us, and you mentioned this. As a matter of fact, you were mentioning the possibility of this as energy.
All right. So my question is, why is it called Life Imitates Phil? Why is it Life Imitates Dr. Rod Tarter?
Because it was on my show.
Okay.
Well, you know, I mean, it's just, it's a lot of fun, you know.
Well, I understand it's a lot of fun, but you say Life Imitates Phil. I'm the one that mentioned that it was my idea originally that pee could, we could use pee as fuel.
Yes, yes, it was your idea originally that we could use, quote, pee as fuel. And now we find researchers are testing urine as potential energy sources. Portable urinals could create power from pee.
Yeah, that is so lame. That's so much crap. I mentioned urine as a viable and serious source of energy, and they are coming up with line, what was the line? Power from what?
Power from pee. Anyway, researchers at the Bristol Robotics Lab are pumping money into experiments that will test urine as a new energy source. Dr. Leonis Larapoulos, who is heading up the research. Do you know this guy?
I never heard of him.
Why are you not at the fore of this?
I'm doing my own experimentation. Thank you very much. I'm doing my own. Thank you very much.
But I mean, this is getting news.
Yeah, well, that's good. I hope they get news, because that means there's going to be a lot of people that are paying attention to their acidine experiments, and when they finally come up goose eggs, and they're casting around for someone who can make a concerted and realistic effort at turning human urine into fuel, they'll naturally come knocking on my door. So I'm not worried at all.
All right. Well, who's actually making a concerted effort at turning human urine into fuel? Anyway.
I'm glad you could spit that out.
I'm sorry. Dr. Larapoulos, who is heading up the research, was awarded a... Where are you right now?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah, where are you?
I'm in the cafeteria at the observatory.
All right. It's very loud. It's very active for the middle of the night, isn't it?
We are at 24. We have a SETI program here, Phil. It's 24-7, so...
All right. They're heading up the research. Was awarded a fellowship grant worth nearly $900,000 to develop effective ways to turn waste into energy. He now plans to expand that research to include urine. For the past 3.5 years, Larapoulos has worked to create robots powered by consuming garbage. The robots run on microbial fuel cells, which are created when bacteria breaks down and turns into power.
Yeah, let me comment for you. I'm very aware of this research. I'm very aware of this very wrong-headed and time-wasting bit of science that's being conducted by these individuals trying to get robots to run on basically you're trying to get robots to run after someone went to the toilet. And I think it bespeaks a preoccupation that is juvenile. I have no idea what it is they're trying to do. Burying the idea of robots and I go doo-doo.
You don't think it's that childish, do you?
I absolutely do think it's childish. I think if you think of it in this way, Phil, robots and going poo-poo, that is the domain of a four-year-old boy. And yet we have researchers at the Bristol Robotics Laboratory every day coming to work and playing with it. I wonder, I wrote a letter, in fact, to Scientific American one afternoon. I said, I wonder if these men show up for work and immediately reach down into their diapers and start throwing it around the room. You know?
Well, I you know better than I do. I mean, this is your field.
You're darn right.
Okay. But I doubt seriously if, I shouldn't say. What is the real beat? You don't think these guys are really juvenile, do you?
Well, what I'm telling you is the following thing. I think it is completely wrong. First of all, they're attempting a technology that isn't needed. We don't need to run robots for anything, really. I think the robotic technology that they're talking about is completely unnecessary. What we could use is more research into prosthetics and the possible use of robotics in prosthetics, human prosthetics. Okay.
All right.
We could use that. We could use any kind of an assist for people with spinal cord injury. But to figure out how to run a robot after you go, I go bathroom. Billy, I hope you're not laughing.
No, I'm not. It was funny to me. You know.
What is funny to you about wasting billions of dollars? Could you enlighten me on that, please?
Well,
no, really. What is funny to you, and what is funny to your audience about wasting billions of dollars? I was curious.
It is not funny. You're right.
Okay, that's exactly right. It's not funny. What it is, I'll give you an example. And here is where I would help our good friend, Mr. Stephen Hawking, who you love and everyone thinks is just the greatest thing in the world. Stephen Hawking should be on my side on this one. Stephen Hawking suffers from ACL. Stephen Hawking could use advanced robotic technology because he has a condition that obviously would benefit immensely. He doesn't need to have little robots running around his apartment like we're in Blade Runner. You know, he needs the kind of robotic technology. And I would say to Stephen Hawking right now, of all the things that he's involved himself in that have been an embarrassment, of all the things that Stephen Hawking has done that are quasi-racist, in nature, embarrassing for their science, and the criminality of a man like that being as attractive as he is to women, the criminality of that, I won't comment on. But Stephen Hawking could get on my side on this and say what we do need is a concerted effort at robotics in terms of in the medical field, nuclear science, and so forth. But instead, what do we get? We get a group of scientists at the Bristol Robotics Lab, led by this Loannis Lirapoulos, and they say, look, Bobby, I have robot. I go potty to make the robot run.
Well, you're set. Okay, so essentially you will not give these men any benefit of engaging in this kind of science for anything beyond their own infantile amusement.
Absolutely. Since when? I first broached the idea of using urine as energy about 4 or 5 years ago, Phil, and I've been working on it ever since. I don't get big news articles written about me because I don't want them. I don't get a lot of people interviewing me because I don't want them. The guys at Bristol Robotics, they like that kind of attention. They can't wait for people to come around.
What?
They can't wait for people to come around so they can watch them go to the bathroom.
You're serious.
I've never been more serious in my life. I've been working on this technology. I don't need some hack from the New York Daily News to come around my observatory and ask me about the work I'm doing on power urine. which is what we call it, by the way.
Power urine?
Yeah, well, it's better than pee power. And I am certainly not going to engage seriously what these guys are doing. I have a robot, Miko, me make do. I won't do it. You can't make me do it.
I hung up on him. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back.
You hung up on Dr. Turner.
Phil Hendry.
I'm glad you hung up on him.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. What are you guys talking about?
Well, I mean, you're talking about Dr. Turner and you know, how many people are at the laboratory.
Yeah, well, you know, how many do you think there is?
At his observatory right now?
Yeah.
I don't know. It sounded like they had a full damn bunch of, you know, cafeteria or something.
Yeah, that seems like a lot of people in the middle of the night.
They might be doing something with the, like I said, they've got a SETI array there. You know what SETI is?
Uh-oh.
Search for extraterrestrial intelligence.
Right. What are you talking about?
Looking for E.T.?
Yeah. Basically. Looking for E.T., yeah.
That's ridiculous. Have they been able to find it?
No, they haven't found it. No, of course not. I mean, they haven't. If they had, they're not telling us, which, of course, that's God, you know, God help us, because there's bound to be somebody out there already working on, or has worked on, and has already had it rejected, a screenplay about, aha, we found it. Oh, it was Contact. I forget. Contact, that was it. Didn't she work at SETI?
I didn't see that movie. You said it stunk. So I didn't see it. You said it stunked.
Yeah.
What do you mean I said it stunked?
Yeah.
It did. It stunk. It stunk. It was the worst. Boring. Unrealistic.
Well, how's it going to be realistic, man? It's about contacting a man from another planet.
You can make anything seem realistic. You can make anything seem like, wow, if this happened, this is the way it would happen. You can make it feel, I mean, call me crazy, but when Close Encounters of the First Kind came out, I felt that Spielberg made that film in a manner and directed it, and the actors played it like, well, I mean, this is crazy stuff, but if it were to happen, this is probably what it would look like. You know, that's all I'm saying. Contact was the most asinine movie, if for nothing else, than that dumb, stupid bunch of protesters at the end.
Oh, yeah, I had signs out and saying, yeah, you know, I forget what it was.
It was stupid. Anyway, so that's where he is. They got that SETI thing, you know.
I don't know that, put a dish, man, they're going to discover nothing, you know, except, like, what do you call, like, it bounce a signal off of space or something like that.
Well, they discovered background radiation with a couple of dishes. You know, I don't know what kind of dishes they were.
What's that?
Background radiation. Background radiation is in the universe. It is the residual of the Big Bang, okay?
What are you talking about?
Just back off, bud, and I'll tell you. When the universe started, there was a big explosion. Now, don't ask me about how, why, when, where, and don't ask me about all the people that don't believe that, because I'm not going to get into that. I'm just going to tell you that when the universe started, it was a little itsy-bitsy, teeny-weeny, eeny-teeny little piece of matter that exploded.
Well, how small could it be? I mean, everybody came out of that?
Yes, everybody came out of that one little teeny itsy-bitsy thing.
Bull crap, man. You're talking about like God.
Maybe I am talking about God. Maybe I am. Maybe that's what God, I don't know, you know, but all I'm telling you is this little tiny thing blew up. Now, it exploded, and it's still exploding. It's still exploding. It's still moving. It's moving away from the center. It's moving away from the center of the explosion. And it created all kinds of stuff when the Big Bang happened. It created all the planets. It created all the gases. It created all the stars. It created everything. And it also left a residual kind of heat radiation from its explosion, which is just all over the place, man. It would be as if I turned on a heat lamp and bang, the whole room fills with heat. Well, that's the radiation that was created from the Big Bang. And they discovered that radiation, which they knew in theory existed, but they finally did, in fact, discover it in the 60s by accident.
What, like with a dish or something?
Yeah, with some kind of a dish that was being used for communications, and it was being used, I believe, by engineers for Bell, the phone company. I think I've got the right people there.
Yeah.
And these cats were getting static. And they thought there was, in other words, the signals that they were working with, they weren't supposed to have this hissing sound that they kept hearing. And they went up and they cleaned the dish off. And they thought it was bird crap on the dish. They thought it was rain on the dish. They didn't know what the hell it was until they finally realized we are hearing a sort of a static, we are listening to the radiation. And I think what they did is they scoped it. They actually looked on a scope. And eventually they were able to track the heat of this radiation. We find in the universe, as far as we can tell, that radiation, the heat of that is the same temperature no matter where.
Well, I don't understand any of that. But you're talking about like they did that on a dish like a SETI dish.
Yeah, so that was like they weren't talking to nobody.
No, they're not talking to anybody, man. It was just the explosion from the Big Bang is all I'm saying. But they discovered that using one of these dishes, but they were using it for something else. I think it was engineers for Bell. It might have been another company, but they were a couple of engineers who were looking for something completely different. They were just going out one day to do their job, and they got all this interference. And they're like, what the hell is that, man? I don't know. Let's clean off the dish. Let's do this. Let's do that. It's still noisy. I don't know. It's bugging me. It's driving me nuts. How do we get rid of it? And they finally, what is that? You know, is it? They thought it was a TV signal interfering. They thought it was radio interfering. They thought they didn't know what it was until finally, as they looked into it, and they brought in other researchers, and they finally brought in scientists, and they finally brought in people and monitoring equipment, and, you know, and they did the math, and they realized that they were dealing with something that wasn't just in the immediate area of the dish. It was space-wide, man. It was universe-wide. It was a lot of this stuff, and it was very, very deep, and it was everywhere. And that was the radiation from the Big Bang.
All right, pull my coat on this. Now, you
get out of here with pull my coat on this. What's that?
I saw Malcolm X the other night.
Yeah, I thought it was cool.
Pull my coat on this. What do you want me to pull your coat on?
I forget now.
Get out of here, man. The site originally worked for SETI, then went on. Oh, who? The chick from, who are you talking about?
He's talking about, what's her name, the lesbian.
Jodie Foster. Thank you, Jace. Arizona governor considers changing the immigration law. I better get off this outer space stuff because you cats, I'm losing you, man.
No. Oh, I know what I was going to ask you. What about a little tiny itsy-bitsy particle, what you were saying?
I'll talk about it some other night, okay?
Oh, man, I think that's interesting, though, that we all started with little tiny, you know. You said that blew up from what?
Look at, guys, I don't want to get into it right now, right? It's too weird. We started, the Big Bang was an explosion. It was an explosion of a little tiny. Yeah, you can't even see it.
You can't even see, and we all came from something you can't see.
Yes! It was dense matter.
All right, what made it explode? See, that's it, man. You say there's no God, and yet you say there was a Big Bang. God made the Big Bang.
I'm not claiming there's no God. I didn't say there was no God.
Yeah, well, how can you say there's a God and say there's a little tiny thing that blowed up?
How can I say there's no God? How can I say there is a God? There is a God. There is a God. I believe there's a God. And that little tiny thing blowed up.
It doesn't make any sense.
Good. Now let me move on to something else. Arizona governor considers changing immigration law. What are you doing, man?
I'm trying to measure how big the...
Get out of here. And that happens to be my ruler.
All right.
It's my tape measure. He's trying to measure with a tape measure how big the original piece of matter was.
Wow. I could...
The fight over Arizona's immigration law showed no signs of letting up Friday as the federal judge who blunted its force faced threats, and the Republican governor who signed it considered changes to address any faults. Well, that's great. Glad to see you guys are on the same page. In the days since U.S. District Judge Susan Bolton put on hold the most controversial parts of the law, hundreds of emails and phone calls, including some threats, naturally, have poured into the courthouse. 70 people have been arrested in demonstrations. And a fund has been set up to help defend the new law, added $75,000 on Wednesday alone, giving the state more than $1.6 million to get Bolton's ruling overturned. Now, Governor Jan Brewer, who signed the law and appealed the ruling, has vowed not to back down, saying she'll challenge Bolton's decision all the way to the El Supremo Corto. But Brewer said on Friday she'd consider changes to tweak the law to respond to the parts Bolton faulted. Well, all right, and that's a very smart thing. She is the governor. She's the chief executive officer of her state, and that's the responsible thing for her to say. Having said what I just said, though, how do you fight it all the way to the Supreme Court, but you're willing to tweak those areas which Bolton finds? In other words, what she is saying is she wants her law to be constitutional so that they can keep it on the books forevermore. And Bolton has pointed out areas where it is unconstitutional. Said Brewer, well, let's hear what Brewer said. We actually have the audio here. In a somewhat bizarre and contentious interview. Oh, no. Is this with Sanchez? You know, Rick, you're a nice guy, man. Would you give it up, man? You're a nice guy, Rick, but you got to give it up, dude. You got a TV show there where you are walking right up to the edge of being honest, but you just don't quite want to jump, do you, man? You got a TV show where you walk right up to the edge of being forthcoming and honest with people, but you just can't make that big jump because you don't want to lose the gig. I understand. In a somewhat bizarre and contentious interview, CNN's Rick Sanchez goes after Arizona State Representative Rick Murphy. Are we going to hear anything from the governor? I guess not. So let me read this. Then we'll get into the audio. The governor said, basically, we believe the law is constitutional, but she obviously pointed out faults that can possibly be fixed, and that's what we would do, Brewer told the Associated Press. She said she's talking to legislative leaders about the possibility of a special session, but said no specific changes had been identified. In her temporary injunction, Bolton delayed the most contentious provision of the law, including a section that required officers to check a person's immigration status while enforcing other laws. Bolton indicated the federal government's case has a good chance at succeeding in its argument that the federal immigration law trumps state law. Well, of course it does. It's how that law is being enforced. Yes, it trumps state law. Yes, it is the federal law that must be enforced. But you can enforce it. And I don't think that you have to be a federal officer to enforce it. Anyway, she allowed police to enforce the law's bans on blocking vehicle traffic when seeking or offering day labor services, and a revision to the smuggling ban that lets officers stop drivers if they suspect motorists have broken traffic laws. Bolton also let officers enforce a new prohibition on driving or harboring illegal immigrants in furtherance of their illegal presence. Democrats scoffed at Brewer's desire to change the law, with a key House minority leader calling it laughable. Why would we help her, asked Representative Kirsten Sinema of Phoenix. This bill is so flawed, and clearly a federal judge agrees, Sinema said. Why would we help her? Why would we want to have some of that bipartisanship? All right. Here's Rick Sanchez as he was driving people crazy today. He's a very nice. Rick is a great guy, but he just drives everyone nuts. He drives everybody nuts with that show of his where he pretends like there's controversy, but there really isn't. And he pretends like there's a lot going on, but there really isn't. Anyway, here is Rick talking to whoever the hell, Representative Rick Murphy, for having a beef with illegals.
What is your beef with illegal immigration?
Well, Rick, the problem with illegal immigration is that it's multifold.
It's illegal.
First of all, you've got some folks that are here that collect benefits and that put a burden on the taxpayers, and there's not enough balance to the benefit they're providing.
Okay, but just a quick stop. You know those people are paying taxes, right?
Some of them do pay some taxes.
No, they all pay taxes.
Sometimes.
No, Mr. Murphy, they all pay taxes, sir.
Yeah, that's great. They're here illegally, sir. Anyway, Sanchez accuses Murphy of using talking points.
Do they all live in caves?
I don't think very many of them live
in
caves.
Okay, so if they go to the grocery store to buy goods, they pay taxes. It's called the sales tax, right?
Well, most cities here don't tax groceries, but besides that,
let me give you an example. Since you're going
my
to be
wife
real
and
smart,
I are foster parents,
you,
okay?
No, but just let's continue the conversation. I don't want your talking points.
Hey, Rick, I get it. Your last name is Sanchez. I understand. And that doesn't mean you're stupid, does it? Sanchez gets mad.
Can you buy something at a store without paying a sales tax?
Not in most states.
So why do you go around telling Americans that these people don't pay taxes? Or some of them, as you say.
I didn't say they don't pay taxes.
You just said that a minute ago.
What I
you
say
said,
is...
You said some
said
of them
the
do.
I said the cost they incur I said the costs they incur do not balance out the costs or the taxes that they pay.
Why don't you tell the people? You know, we may have to start a new comb-over boy, man.
Yeah, you can't call him comb-over on account of he got hair.
Since comb-over boy ain't on the air anymore, we're going to have to start doing the Rick Sanchez. Hey, look, coming up here in about a half an hour. Ricky, seriously, very nice guy and a hard-working son of a bitch. But what's going on, Rick, is you no longer... They don't want cats to do news anymore, man. They want cats to do news and have an opinion. And you don't want to have an opinion because you're afraid that, you know... So you have, like, this opinion you think is editorially correct for CNN. What is your opinion? Other than the fact that you ain't got an opinion on a lot of stuff. We'll be back. Phil Hendry Show.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, my God.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
You know, and welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And don't forget, on Monday, we begin the automatic downloads of our daily Phil Hendry Show, our Phil Hendry Show podcast, Monday. And we're very excited about offering that to you, as well as our classic podcast three times a week, featuring archival material. Of course, we have a live streaming video of our show every night, live streaming audio of our show every night. We have hours and hours and hours and hours and months and years and years and years of archive material. I mean, there's no website on the World Wide Web for a radio show, an individual radio show, like the Phil Hendry Show website. So check it out, philhendryshow.com. Now, just the final thing I wanted to say about Rick. Boy, I forgot what I was going to say about Rick.
You guys he's a douche.
That's not what I was going to say. He's not a douche. Here it is. I totally get it. The argument, the immigration argument is like so many things in this country right now. There's a lot of truth between the two extremes that nobody wants to think about because when dumb people take over the debate, you're lost, right? And right now, immigration, like a lot of other things, has been co-opted by some pretty dumb people. I'm sorry, but it has. If you really wanted to solve the problem, the McCain-Kennedy compromise, or whatever you wanted to call it, George Bush's idea on solving the problem was the idea. That was the one. Even when Obama said a pathway to citizenship, that was a pretty good idea, in my opinion. But, oh, that sounds liberal, so we can't do that. That sounds too liberal. What we're talking about, make them speak English. I love that. I don't know any conservatives that don't like that. You got to learn English. Got to pay a fine. I don't know anybody that wouldn't like that idea in dealing with illegals in this country. And then you get to the back of the line while you wait for your citizenship. Now, that's a fantastic idea. It enforces English as the primary language in this country, which is a must because you cannot have a society holding together when it is multilingual. It ain't gonna happen. All right, so that, then paying a fine, and then we also keep track of who the hell is here, who's illegal, where are you, what's going on, well, you know. But no. People didn't want to do that. They called it amnesty, all kinds of stuff, because the idiots got a hold of the debate, and they co-opted the whole thing and turned it into, crap. So I might agree, but the cat like Sanchez, you can't even get out of that. You can't get out of the starting blocks with this guy, man. What's your problem with illegal immigration? That it's illegal? Well, you know, no, I don't know. Well, what is your problem? It's illegal, man. That's my problem with it. It's illegal. The immigration is illegal. Since when do laws not get enforced? Well, you know, I'll tell you when they get enforced, when people have a stake in the outcome of the law being broken. You know, I talk about on this show copyright violation. Does anybody out there listening to me give a crap? Of course you don't, and I don't blame you. It's not your fight. It's my fight. But by God, I'll fight it, and I will continue to say it is illegal to bootleg our show material. It's illegal to bootleg anybody's show material. Copyrighted, illegal.
If I had Rick Sanchez sitting, well, what's your problem with copyright violation, Phil? It's against the law, man. Well, but, you know, you do realize that it helps promote your show. No, I don't know that. I don't know that that's the case at all. Well, you know, Phil, I've been bootlegging material. Really? Well, I guess I'm going to have to kick your ass right here on television, Rick. And I don't want to have to do that. Oh, come on, Phil, I've been bootlegging. No, I'm sorry. Get up. It's time for your beating. Well, are you kidding me? Ow! 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 You know. What's your problem with illegal immigration? Illegal. What's your problem with illegal copyright violation? Illegal. Well, what's your problem with illegal drug? Illegal. It's all illegal, man. If it was legal, I wouldn't have a problem with it. But it's illegal. That's my problem with it. Let's get back to enforcing laws. What do you think? Anybody got a, you know?
Well, what about, like, weed and everything?
I don't give a crap about weed. Plus, medical marijuana is legal in California. Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Podcasts Monday. Later.
Phil Henry.
What is your problem with